Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
I'm so sick of eBay. I'm all into Star Stock now.
Okay, fair enough. I think that's totally fair.
I mean, I'll still buy stuff. But, like, Star Stock is so much better. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the greatest hour of Ian Khan victory lapping of your week.
Oh, not this week.
It's Under the Radar. Part of the Athletic Fantasy Baseball podcast. I'm Nando Fino. With me, as always, your friend of mine, Derek Raiba.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one, folks. I can already tell.
My friend and yours, Ian Khan.
There will be no victory laps. Oh, none.
We got a lot to get to. Sorry to disappoint everybody, but I got about 14 things into the rundown before Ian put one thing in all caps, as far as I can tell. Unless there are some surprises in here.
No. That's it.
DVR, big birthday in the fantasy industry. Adam Ronis yesterday. How about that?
Hey, happy birthday to Adam.
Happy birthday, Adam Rose.
And according to IMDb.com, Ian Khan, big birthday tomorrow.
That's right. I'm going to be really old. I'm going to be 49 years old tomorrow. That's pretty old. That's like old. That's like almost 50 old. Old. 49 is old. Sorry, Glenn Colton.
It's big of you to reveal your age. I know a lot of actors and actresses don't do that.
It's not a concern for me.
I like it. Age gracefully.
Yeah, I mean, just
like Lewis Brinson.
Yes, indeed. Lewis Brinson. By the way, you guys did Fantasy 15 this morning, and I just have to do this because of the one time that I did a show with DVR without Nando. What's going on, guys? Doing a show without me? My feelings are actually not hurt at all. I think it was a fun show, and I enjoyed listening to it.
It's already up.
Yeah. DVR put it up, so I listened. You made me laugh in the first 15 seconds, Nando.
Oh, stop it. Well, it was.
No, really.
It was just faint.
It was funny.
Damn me with faint praise, Derek Van Riper.
No, it was because DVR said that he had done the show alone, and that now and so you saying thank you for saying that I'm one step above doing the show alone.
Yeah,
and it genuinely made me laugh. I was like, that's pretty funny.
On today's show, I've just read his name. I'd never heard it. Apparently, it's Adolis, but I just say Adolis. But I know that's very wrong every time I say it. DVR, it's Adolis, is that it? Is that how you said it this morning?
Adolis, yep.
Adolis Garcia, the newest fantasy, the new Yermin Mercedes.
whoa, easy.
Hey now, I like Adolis Garcia. In fact, I had an argument with Cushing. Well, that's not an argument, but a discussion. I was like, I think we should get Adolis Garcia, except I didn't call him that at the time, into our lineup in our NFBC team, which is not doing very well. And he was like, nah, I don't know, man. I mean, really? Why? And I was like, I think so. So we did. And he was pretty good last night.
Yeah.
He's going to be pretty good. I like him. He's a Nando DeFino kind of guy. Cuban ball player, came over, lots of tools. He was running balls down in center field last night, too. Doing really well out there.
That's it. You know, like, and it's not like I don't have a secret formula. I look at their minor league numbers. Like, I guess I still believe in someone a little after, like, the hype is gone and everyone's kind of forgotten. And this is a big problem in football, too. But in football, it actually sometimes works. Like, you know, like if a guy has been forgotten about, it's for good reason and he's probably gone. But in baseball, someone's forgotten about, it's like everyone forgets he was good or doesn't realize he was good. So, I mean, There's my secret. Look at their minor league numbers. Bum, bum, bum. Anyway.
Ty France, dude.
And, well, Ty France got hit on the forearm last night.
Yeah, and then they hit Mookie Betts. A lot of big feelings going on in the major leagues these days. Lots of teams getting mad at each other.
I think, you know, people have been in the house for so long and doing their own thing that when they have to encounter other people, I think it's really going to set off a lot of fights.
Yeah, I think it's happening.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it, seeing it.
Right? Like, even when I'm driving, I'm like, oh, man, people are driving like jerks. More jerks than I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, they really are. I'm noticing the same thing.
Anyway,
especially with me. Okay.
Yeah. We'll get on to Ian's road rage in a minute.
I think Adolis Garcia, is that right?
Adolis.
I think Adolis Garcia is going to play. I mean, I was going to put in a bid for him in AL Labor for $7, and Eno put in a bid of $7. But I didn't do it because labor rules are challenging. Tip of the hat, though, to Steve Gardner. I'd have to drop somebody, and I didn't really want to drop somebody and spend the money. But I was like, I think he's going to play now. He's just a really good pickup in dynasty leagues and keeper leagues right now, I think.
I had written about him, July 2020. He was one of my sleepers before last year. And I went back and looked at it. I'm like, man, what did I like so much about this guy? And actually, DVR brought it up on the show today. I grabbed him and I traded with Mike Pilucci, your boy.
Mike Pilucci.
Yeah, and he was an Arizona Diamondback. He was starter for the Arizona Diamondbacks last year in the Athletic.
And you got him in OOTP?
Yeah.
You traded for him?
Yes,
I did. That's so great. I remember that. You gave up like somebody good.
I really wanted him. It might have been like Seth Beer, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds like what you gave up. Yeah, well, hey, there you go. Nando DeFino, ladies and gentlemen.
But it was Levi Weaver was all over him, too. Like, he was tweeting during spring training last year, you know, what the ball sounded like off the bat. You know, like, this is what I found. Looked up from writing this Gallo story when I heard what sounded like an oak tree breaking in half. Adolis Garcia has homered. That's the kind of player he is.
That's awesome. That's some good writing. I can't do that.
Right?
That's
really good. One of the best. All right.
Yeah, that's really good.
So, okay, DVR, do you have any opinion? I know you asked me about him. Let me turn the tables and ask you about him.
I think because this is the same organization that brought us 511 plate appearances of Danny Santana in 2019, I'm open to the idea that Garcia could play a lot more than we expect and exceed expectations, even if it's only for a little while. I mean, we saw how the Danny Santana story ended in Texas last year in the shortened season. It was brutal. The K rate went through the roof, and it was only 15 games, but he didn't hit, and you know, now he's bouncing around again. But power, a little bit of speed, I think it's worth taking a chance here because they have to get the development of Leody Taveras right, and that is not going well early on this season. So I think once there are minor league games for Taveras to play in, sending him down makes a lot of sense. I don't know if the alternate site does much to help him, but he's striking out 44% of the time, clearly losing his hold on that job. We're talking about a really young player. Taveras is only 22. He turned 22 back in September, and he skipped over AAA entirely. So it is by no means egregious to send him down, have him try to make some adjustments against AAA pitching, and maybe bring him back in the second half, right? If the Garcia thing doesn't work out, Taveras gets another run in the second half. But I think if you have Leody Taveras in redraft leagues and you were hoping to get 20 steals from him this season, you are going to be sorely disappointed.
Ian, where's Taveras falling now? I mean, I assume he's falling. Let's just say you had a Dynasty Ranks update coming soon. Is he a buy because of his plummeting stock and people thinking, well, he had a shot in the majors. You know, last year was fake and this is who he really is. And B, like, where do you place him now?
Yeah, I think when you put it in those terms, I do think he's right now he's a throw-in. You can throw him into your and you then you catch him on the throw and throw him into your minor leagues and see if he can develop, because one thing he has is speed. He's also, you know, he's one of those prospect fatigue guys for a while, and they go up and down, but he is a guaranteed freshman, as we use that analogy. So I'm not ending the Leody Taveras story for me. I don't own him. I don't roster him. Sorry. I do not roster him anywhere in any of my dynasty leagues because I traded him in places because his stock was really high and I got good players for him. But I liked him coming into the season. I mean, I thought that I think he still cracks the top 400 for me, probably lower into the 300s than what we would have thought before. Hey. But I think Adolis Garcia should make an appearance at the back of the dynasty list. But again, you know, teams are going to make adjustments to Adolis Garcia. If he keeps oak treeing and knocking balls, you know, over walls, they'll make adjustments.
Yeah, he'll make adjustments back, right? I mean, that's what, he's not like a 23-year-old hotshot, like, you know, coming out and doesn't know how to, like, he played in Cuba professionally for, I think, 6 years, and then just struggled through the minors and, you know, was good, was really good, right? I feel like he's got that maturity where he can adjust right now.
We'll see what happens in Texas, because you've got, I mean, it's a weird team. It's kind of a strange team where the pitching is kind of turning out okay. Kyle Gibson looked good again. Arihara looked amazing last night. Fulton Awitz, not so much. Jordan Lyles, sort of up and down. Dane Dunning is interesting. It's an interesting
Dane Dunning
team.
All you're going to give him is an interesting?
I don't know. What are you going to give him?
I feel like Dane Dunning's a star in the making, kind of. He's almost like Lucas Giolito in a weird way. And that I mean, we expected him. He kind of plopped and then unlocked something last year, and he's carried it over to this year.
I'm not going to go that far. I mean, he's certainly doing okay. He's doing pretty well, I would say, so far.
I was
for sure.
At 2.94 ERA, yeah.
Yeah. He's doing pretty well. But it's still early, and you know, we're going to get into Joe Ross in a minute. At some point, we're going to get into Joe Ross. And, you know, pitchers are challenging. Pitchers are challenging.
Sorry, just to clarify, that was 2.94 over his young career. He's
allowed
one run in 15 innings this year.
Yeah, I mean, DVR, what do you think? I mean, are you buying in on Dane Dunning?
I had him ranked, I want to say, in the third tier for pitchers for the rookie piece I did a while back. And I think of the guys in that group, the comment was that he had the worst stuff, but he had the best opportunity because Texas is looking like a good place to pitch with the new ballpark. And they don't have a lot of depth behind him in the minors pushing towards rotation spots. It's a sinker-slider combo mostly, not a lot of velocity. You look at the slider as probably the best of the secondaries in terms of whiffs. The changeup doesn't look bad at all. He doesn't throw it that much, though. So I'm just worried that if he doesn't start throwing a third pitch a little more often, because the fastball is not a high-velo fastball, he's going to start to get hit a little bit. But again, if we're looking for a high threes, low fours ERA, slightly better than league average whip and a lot of innings, I think he can do that.
I think you guys are way off on him.
Okay.
But that's just me. I mean, like, I'm looking at a guy who has never had an ERA above 3 in his minor league career. And granted, it was kind of short. Like, only 266 innings pitched over 3 seasons. I don't know. To me, it just looks like he doesn't allow a lot of base runners. He's got a very good strikeout rate. His ERA has been very low, traditionally. And he's doing it again in the majors. I mean, all the stuff that DVR says is obviously a little bit of cause, you know, below the surface, Joey Lucchese type worry. But maybe Texas is a little underrated for developing some of these pitchers, too. They did it. Look, they brought back Lance Lynn. They did it with a couple other guys who I can't think of off the top of my head. I feel like at this point last year, we were saying that Rangers rotation is better than I thought it would be. And maybe even 2 years ago, we were saying it, too, weren't we?
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at what the Rangers got. They got Dunning and Avery Weems for Lance Lynn on a good contract. So obviously the Rangers think really highly of him.
Yeah.
Because that is the piece that they got back.
Oh, Mike Minor. We forgot about Mike Minor 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the Rangers have a little bit of the Cleveland Indians in the water.
Yeah, that could be. Well, who's their pitching? I should know this. Is Maddox still their pitching? No. Hold on. Here comes the tappity-tappity. Rangers
tappity
pitching
tappity
coach.
Too.
We even stumped DVR. Doug Brocale.
Hey, well, you know, I mean, and also that ballpark is better than it was before. What's up with Joey Gallo? Why is Joey Gallo not hitting any home runs yet? I mean, I saw an article where
I don't know
where he said that
slow start.
No, it was on the broadcast where the sideline reporter, if that's what we call him in baseball, basically said that he's tired of hitting 40 home runs and hitting 220 and being considered a bad baseball player. So he's changing the way he hits and that he's just trying to get on base as much as he can. But he's still, it's just, I think he's got one home run so far. And I certainly have him penciled in for a lot more than that.
I'm still reading
any
about
thoughts
the,
on that.
I'm still reading about the Rangers pitching coach. Sorry.
DVR. Any thoughts on Joey Gallo?
I'm surprised that Gallo Gallo isn't showing us early power. It's too early to panic about pretty much anything unless the strikeout rate is off the charts bad. In Gallo's case, it is down slightly. It just seems like the kind of guy that if he's going to strike out a little less, the power's still going to be there. He's not hitting wall scrapers. Yeah, he's killing the ball. It's weird to see for a guy that's hit the ball in the air a ton in his career, his ground ball rate is up a lot early on. Could be the way he's getting pitched right now. Maybe teams are staying low in the zone against him.
And they're not, there's not that much protection in the lineup. I mean, Nate Lowe has been better, certainly, than I expected. But that lineup is, it's not very good. So they can pitch, or they can say, Joey Gallo's not going to beat us today.
Doug Mathis is their pitching coach, not Doug Brocale, by the way. Google lied.
Okay. Google
Sometimes
lied.
Google does that.
Yeah, or Google is confused, but it's Doug Mathis, yeah. Not Doug Brocale. Sorry, to continue. Okay. I didn't want to get too far and have anyone listening be like, no, it's Doug Mathis. So I wanted to get that out there quickly.
Good, good. You got it out there super quick. But so, man, we'll see. Dane Dunning. It's an interesting team. The Rangers. They're fun to watch. I enjoy watching them. I have to say, there's no team I enjoy watching more than the Los Angeles Angels, though. They are the most fun team for me to watch.
Go ahead, this is your birthday. Go ahead. We'll let you go off tangent.
No, it's not tangent. I mean, I love watching the Angels. I think it's because of Ohtani, but. I own a lot of their players. I don't know if other players have this feeling, but when you own a lot of players on a team, it's more fun to watch because then, like, I have pretty much everybody on that roster that starts except for Mike Trout, and there's no way to get Mike Trout now. So, but still super fun. David Fletcher fun to watch. Ohtani, Upton, Jared Walsh, like just really Pujols. Got Pujols going in a bunch
you
of leagues because I think, yeah, I have Pujols in a bunch of the 50. In fact, in my first draft of the season, I had the 15th pick. So I was on the wheel. I had the last pick of the draft, pick 750. I took Albert Pujols with the 750th pick. He is now starting on that team at corner infield. And I think I have him on two other draft and hold teams, and he's starting.
DVR, what do you think of that?
I think it's very temporary, though. I think with Pujols chasing some milestones, he's getting a little more run right now. And the other factor, probably the bigger factor for the Angels, is once they bring up one of Joe Adell or Brandon Marsh, Jared Walsh will play more at first base, and then Pujols won't be able to play. But temporarily, yeah, I mean, he's playing well enough to be in your lineup until the playing time dries
up. Stole a base last night. He stole a couple of things. He stole a base last night. It was so fascinating to watch because Iglesias looks at him. Iglesias on first. Pujols is on second. Iglesias looks at him and goes, just with his eyes. And Pujols looks back and goes, okay. And then the next pitch, Pujols just starts because the pitcher at the time, I think it was Cody, was not even looking at Pujols at second base because where's Pujols? He's going to try to steal third. Literally in the stretch. One, two, and Pujols just goes, and like there wasn't even a throw. It was pretty thrilling to watch. But also, the thing that I'm noticing about Pujols is he's in better shape than I've seen him in years. He's not carrying the extra weight, and that really just makes a big difference, I think, for a baseball player.
It was Pujols. Who was it? His wife? At the start, we put that Instagram post being like, "Hey, this is our last season with the Angels. It's been great." And then they had to backtrack that, and then backtrack that some more, right?
Why, though? I mean, it probably is the last season with the Angels.
I think she made it sound like he was retiring at first and then went to be like, oh, it's our last season with the Angels. And then was like, oh, we don't know that for sure either.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not. I mean, if he's willing to be a bench bat and, you know, play once a week, twice a week, I could see him sticking with the Angels. I could see him going back. Well, probably not St. Louis unless the DH comes back. And then I can even see him going back to St. Louis for another season.
Interesting.
You know,
yeah.
He's not going to go to the I don't see him going to the Pittsburgh Pirates to finish it out. You know, I think he probably would have retired if he didn't have the crazy contract.
This is it for Pujols. This has to be. I mean, he's playing a little right now, but you know what? I saw his stats at the top of the baseball reference page from spring training. His actual regular season stats are not that good. 231, 286, 308. I don't know what they're waiting for. I know it's nice to chase milestones, but they're trying to win games. That's more important right now than Pujols's, you know, career achievements.
I don't think it's milestones. I think Pujols is the best player that they can put on the field right now. I actually believe that. I think Pujols at first base with Jared Walsh in right field right now gives them the best chance to win until Marsh or Adell comes up with Fowler going out, you know? I mean, the only reason Pujols is in lineups for my team is because Fowler's out. Fowler's done for the season. That's $12 million that's gone. Or whatever. I don't know exactly what the number is, but it was a good amount of money that he's just tore his ACL. So he's out. And Pujols is going to play and he can still hit home runs. He can. It's still a great lineup. That is a great lineup in Anaheim. I really like that team.
When do you think we see Joe Adell?
Whatever time he used up last year, when that time is up this year, I think you'll see Joe Adell. I think that they're going to go get the extra year. I think that's what they'll do. I think maybe they'll bring up Marsh for a couple of weeks to you know, balance it out. Walsh isn't very good in the outfield, but it is thrilling to watch him get outfield eligibility everywhere. Because he's just, can he hit? He just looks locked in at the plate, looks fully confident. It's really great to see.
Did we talk about this last week about the Donruss cards with the face masks?
No.
So Donruss, they're new, they're 2021. So my buddy Herc has somehow gotten into cards, like, for resisting it forever. And he lives in Florida, and like every time he goes to the Target or wherever, they have cards there, which is like unheard of. So I actually had him buy me a couple. He actually went to the Walmart and got me a couple of the holiday ones. But he went and he bought a couple packs of Donruss. And he opened one up, and he got a Luis Robert. They only made 19, so it's out of 19. And there are emojis outside of the border of like a, you know, the smiley face, but wearing a face mask. And so, yeah, I don't think people have discovered this yet. So I just bought a Shane Bieber for like $10. But I don't know. I can't tell if it's tasteless or if it's a brilliant idea. Because like,
it's okay.
It's face mask and you're making them out of 19 because it's COVID-19.
Oh, okay. Wait, so there are only 19 of the cards?
Only 19 of the cards.
Wow. So those will be worth a lot of money. I think baseball cards, we talk about the baseball cards maybe a little too much on the show, but.
Well, I was close. I went in Adell. You made me think of the Adell because they had an Adell. They have a series of emojis and one's like the 100 emoji and one is the face mask emoji. You know, they're all hundreds out of 100.
I don't know why they wouldn't do more of that. Just put in, it's like Willy Wonka and the golden ticket. It's like you open it up and you get that and there are only 19 of them. Oh my God. Well, you got a card that you could sell and then you can put up on eBay and then have the price go up to $237. And then at the last minute, eBay can just say, well, you don't have to pay for it and it's fine, which is what happened with you and your mean Mercedes. Is that correct?
I don't want to talk about that. That's
you have to talk about it. It's number 8 on the rundown and with Roman numerals. I don't know why.
Well, I thought it would automatically, like, you know, you hit the return and it automatically goes to the next one, but it didn't.
Gotcha. Yeah. But it didn't. So you just kept going.
Yeah.
But what happened with that? Because I think this is outrageous to me that somebody can bid on a card that you put up brilliantly.
Yeah. Well, you guys pushed me to it. So I got to thank you too.
Yeah. But you got nothing out of it because now the guy says, I don't really want it.
Well, he claims that he never put the bids in. That they just appeared there magically.
That happened in AL Labor, too. Weird.
Yes, it did. I wasn't going to bring that up, but it did. It happened in AL Labor where Larry Schechter said that he didn't press $10 on Jared Walsh as I bid 9. And then he bid 10. And then he said, I don't want him. And I was like, I want him.
That's great.
I want him.
Yeah.
I want him.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it didn't happen. And he has Jared Walsh now. And very, very, very sad all the way around. But eBay lets Pauly Boy 73 get away with that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I have to open a case and whatever. And it doesn't even look like I can leave him negative feedback. So he can just go run around and do it again.
Cool.
As far as I understand it. So
I don't understand. eBay has to take responsibility for that as far as I'm
concerned. I'm going to file a small claims court case.
Well, I don't know about all
taking
that.
Taking a Judge Judy.
That would be funny, man. I put up your mean Mercedes. I didn't want to do it, but I did it.
Yeah.
And now this guy, because there was somebody who was willing to bid $236 for it.
Not anymore. I mean, now it's like $160. So it really cost me like $100 in real life money.
It's not okay.
I know. It's not okay.
But then you angrily went and bought 16 what is it?
Adolis.
Adolis Garcias and four Dwayne.
Oh, did I write
Haskins?
That? I wrote this late last night when I was very tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm only doing star stock from now on. I don't care anymore. I'm so sick of eBay. I'm all into star stock now.
Okay, fair enough. I think that's totally fair.
I mean, I'll still buy stuff on eBay, but like star stock is so much better.
That's it. Hold on. I got to look for where that is because that's the next week's opening. This is the opening of the show.
You know, Nigel Eccles from FanDuel is behind star stock. One of the guys behind star stock. So there you go. The guy who invented DFS.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Star Stock DFS, genius stuff.
Well, he didn't invent it. I'm in the forefront of it. How about that?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I have a question for you. We talked about Ha-Seong Kim on the show last week.
Yeah.
Why is now the time to go get Ha-Seong Kim?
Because Tatis is back, and I think everybody is on like, oh, Tatis is fine, he's back forever. I think he's going to play like maybe another week and then just shut it down. Like, he's hitting like 113. He does not look right.
Well, he's had to change his swing.
Yeah.
That's problematic.
That's going to compensate and make him hurt somewhere else.
Well, he's changing his swing from a one-handed swing to a two-handed swing. I think that's going to be hard to do. I think if you've been hitting one way your whole life to face guys pitching 95 to 100 and to then change how you hit to protect your shoulder, I think it's going to be challenging. But do you think Ha-Seong Kim is worth rostering in a redraft league right now?
I do. I think he's going to find some at-bats anyway. I mean, people liked him anyway enough that he would find some at-bats before Tatis got hurt. But I still believe, I don't know, man, maybe I'm the crazy one, but I still think like Tatis is just going to bow out, man. I can't see him playing through this. Everything I've read Virginia Zakas wise, I just can't see him playing through it.
What do you think, DeVere?
I think it's very possible that he'll have a setback, but I don't see how I could justify stashing Kim in a mixed league right now. I don't think there's enough playing time there in the short term. The little bits he had, homered, stole a base, but didn't necessarily look like a guy that was on the brink of unlocking it. It's going to take some time.
And the rest of that team is so good, man. I mean, you know, Cronenworth, who I was down on coming into the season, is earning his playing time. Hosmer is the best that he's ever been. Third base Machado stealing bases. My goodness, what's going on? And, you know, I just don't know where he's going to play. You know, I just don't know where he's going to play. And if you wanted to argue that he's a nice, you know, make a trade for Ha-Seong Kim and Leody Taveras and give up like a win now piece to a rebuilding squad, I could get behind that. But I don't think he's a guy for a redraft. Just doesn't strike me as worthy of the roster spot right now.
I mean, he won't be paying much at all. He'll probably be dropped. Maybe he's more of an ad than a go get him in a trade, but that's now in a redraft.
Yeah, but I just feel like I'd rather be holding a setup guy who might get the closer job than Ha-Seong Kim. Because even when, let's say Tatis does go down, Kim has not delivered enough in the majors to be like a big expensive piece.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Like this weekend,
you're doing
tout
this just to hurt me, so that's fine.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Well, it's especially after what you guys did this morning with Fantasy 15. No, but like I had to make a decision in Tout Wars to cut Kevin Newman or what's the setup guy's name? Aaron Bummer or Bass in Florida, right? Or Diekman. So I had Diekman, Bass, Bummer, and Newman, and I decided for me that let's say any of those three closers goes down. The price on those guys would be so much higher than if Newman started to hit a little bit, right? Newman starts to hit because hard wrong on Kevin Newman over here with the 700 spring training batting average. And, you know, I'm now fixing the problem with Josh Harrison everywhere I can. But I thought to myself, if Newman has a good week, what's going to cost? Like $30 to get him back? Whereas if one of these guys would be like there and available on the wire, they're going to cost you over 100. So I'm dropping Newman. Same thing about Kim. Like, do I want to use a roster spot for Kim, who if Tatis goes down, Kim is going to cost you $11, or use that roster spot for a possible closer?
I like that a lot, actually. I love that strategy.
Okay. I appreciate that.
DVR, is there anything you want to bring up, man? You've been like, this is like a very quiet DVR day. Is it because of Fantasy in 15?
Yeah, I'm just a little tired. I don't have anything, really. I mean, I know we got to talk about Joe Ross at some point. So if we want to just get through that pain, maybe that's a good way to go.
Let's just get through it.
I don't know how much Mario Kart Ian plays. I'm sure Nando plays on multi-platforms and plays online, but
it's a hell of an assumption to make.
I think you know I'm right. Joe Ross was the blue turtle shell on the ratios last night. That was brutal. Just brutal.
Oh, my God. I really hope that you heard everything I said last week about picking up pitchers and maybe stashing them for a week before you throw them in. I really wish I took my own advice to stash him before I put him in. I did not do that. I suffered Joe Ross last night. Even I have a partner in one of my leagues who was trying to convince me it wasn't the right move. And I was like, nope. I am smart. I am good at this game. I see it. No, I'm not good. I'm no good. That would no good yesterday. I was a bad player yesterday and it cost. Now, so I was so upset. I was so upset watching that. And then when he went back out for this, I think it was the fifth, Davey Martinez, who's going to be in that job because he won the World Series and I still think is the locks, sends him back out there when clearly he doesn't have the stuff. The Cardinals have him dead to rights and he gives up that grand slam to Paul DeJong. And I was like, this is no fun. Like, this is the opposite of fun. This is misery. So like I put my kids to sleep. I love them. I hug, you know, all this stuff. And daddy's going to go suffer. I went downstairs and ate some cookies. And then I called Glenn Colton because whenever things get very like,
does he just answer the phone? Like, does he just go, what?
No. What he says is, shall I stand, General? He makes a little George Washington joke. He actually watched Turn, so he does that. But no, which is obviously unnecessary. But so I called Glenn. I was like, Glenn, I'm calling you so you can bring the wisdom that I would expect, that I know you will, and that I would say back to you. I just need to hear somebody I respect say it to me, which is that this is early and that it hurts, but that it's okay, even though it was in Tout Wars, TGFBI, the Devil's Rejects, GDD, like he's everywhere. 10 runs everywhere. And he said, it's a long season. It's a marathon. If it was August, it wouldn't hurt so bad. It's just early, so it feels worse. I was like, I know, but it really feels bad. Like, I want to retire. It was one of those nights. It was really, really tough.
I'm surprised you went to Glenn and not Ariel.
No, Ariel said, well, Ian, as you know.
Happy birthday, everybody.
I'm actually going to be doing Ariel and Ruvane's show next week, April 29th. So I will not be doing an Ariel Cohen impression on that show. I will not. Yeah, I will do everything in my power not to
DVR, do you feel like this is going to get to the point? And Ian, the way you just almost wound that up, I thought you were going to make a joke about like, yeah, I'll be appearing at, you know, Jumpies in the Poconos, just doing a straight Ariel Cohen impression for an hour and a half. If you want to come check me out, 2-drink minimum. That's where I thought you were going.
Don't forget to tip your waitresses.
Just telling a bunch of knock-knock jokes in the Ariel Cohen voice. You should do that. That'd be very Andy Kaufman of you.
I'm going to tell this joke because it'll make me feel better about Joe Ross. I was talking to Ariel about Garry Kasparov because I've worked with Garry Kasparov and he's for a while.
You haven't mentioned that. Really? Do you have a, can you do Garry Kasparov?
I do a Garry Kasparov, but I'm not going to do it. Right, but so I said to, I told the story about how one day I said to Kasparov that, you know, because I'm a decent chess player, I'm a 1500 ranking, and they say that in a blitz game, a 1500 could beat a grandmaster in chess, in a blitz game, if the grandmaster makes a bad mistake, a 1500 player could. And so we were once in a meeting and we were trying to pitch somebody about this idea. And I said, you know, Gary, blah, blah, blah. And he looks at me, goes, not a chance, not a chance, little man. Not, no, general, not a chance, general. So I told this to Ariel and I said, well, Ariel said, well, you know, I was the captain of my chess club. So I actually think that if I dedicated my time to chess instead of fantasy baseball, I could give Kasparov a run for his money. I said, no, you can't. And he goes, well, you know. And I said, well, he ran for president, so he probably does believe that he could do it. But I do have a interesting thing where I created this conversation between Garry Kasparov and Ariel Cohen, where Ariel is trying to convince Kasparov that he could beat him in chess. And it's better for off air, but it's kind of fun.
No, let's thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next week.
There's more to discuss. But Joe Ross, look, it's a very humbling game, baseball, for baseball players who are actually playing the game, and it's a very humbling game on days like today, days like last night, for me as a player. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm not that good, just not that bright, because I was sure that Joe Ross was the right play. I was sure that he had turned the corner. And I was just hard, dead wrong. So there ain't no victory laps going on the show this week. I'll tell you that.
I agree with Glenn Colton, though, that could someone bang? I'm on a very shaky surface right now. Could you just give me a bang? Thank you. That there's time. And like Joe Ross is one of those guys who I do not ever put on any of my teams because he's boring. So I feel like
he's not boring.
He's boring.
He's not boring.
What's his K per nine?
Good.
Like 7.9?
No, it's more than that. And his stuff is good. But the problem is, Glenn said, well, you know, Ian, you did you not read my article? And I said, no, I didn't read it. And he said he basically wrote in the article, stay away from Joe Ross this week because he only has two pitches. It's really just a fastball slider combo. And there's recent film on him. The Cardinals are going to rip him up. The matchups stink. And I just had to, you know, he was like, should have read my article. So I guess I should have.
He watched turn. Sure. I mean, that seems like the right thing to do. Well, a little quid pro quo.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. You're right. You're right about that. And probably would have, I might have saved myself because it was just, you know, there's nothing like it where you, because I was in good shape in most of these leagues. Not tout. Tout, I was like mid pack. I finally climbed back up to like 81 points and then just dropped me back down to 72. Dropping 9 points in one start is tough. It's just tough. It just hurts. And you just got to climb back, you know? I mean, it's part of the game. I'm sure that every fantasy player has this experience, and it just doesn't feel good. Just doesn't feel good. Patrick Corbin had that experience. Fortunately, I didn't suffer him anywhere. But the Nationals, they're all doing it. I blame David Martinez.
Again? You just embraced him.
No, I don't embrace him. I acknowledge that he won the World Series. I still don't think he's a very good manager. I really don't. I don't like the way he runs his dugout. I don't like the way he deals with the umpires. It's just not, I'm not a big fan. I'm just not a huge fan of the way he does his business.
You know, we're talking about Joe Ross. Why aren't we talking about Kyle Hendricks or Lucas Giolito? They also pounded you pretty nastily yesterday.
In TGFBI, I had Ross and Giolito going. So that did take a bite out of crime.
Is TGFBI, has that controversy settled now, finally?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean,
you ready to, who won? You ready to declare a winner?
TGFBI right. won, I think. I think it's a good league. I know I care about it and I work hard at it. And that's what it's about. It's about having fun, man. It's about like what it is that you can give positive attention to and get positive, you know, mostly positive back. Of course, there are Joe Ross days, but I'm not going to talk about him anymore. I'm not going to discuss him. I'm not going to talk about him anymore. For me, I'm more worried about Kyle Hendricks. I think Lucas Giolito is great. I read something about Giolito not being great early in the morning. Like he's not a morning person. And that was sort of known about Giolito. Like, he's tough to get out of bed. I think I read that somewhere.
Yeah, I saw that. Nate, like, Givaldi, his hair was, like, tussled. Someone tweeted something like, you know, I saw him once at, like, 11 a.m. and his hair is tussled. And, like, you know, he just, like, wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, so but what Eovaldi did was he started waking up, I think, so the game was Monday. On Friday, he started waking up at 8 a.m. to start prepping himself, which I used to do on set. Like if I knew I had a 6 a.m. call on Monday, I would go to bed Saturday night at 8 p.m. and wake up at 4:30 in the morning on Sunday morning so that I would be ready for the next day and I would be sharp at 6 a.m. on set. So that's a good way to do it.
That's called being professional too.
Well, I guess so, but Eovaldi did do that, and he looked really good. Eovaldi, can we talk about Eovaldi? Do you guys believe it? I believe it. I mean, do you believe that he's as good as he looks?
The DVR hasn't talked. Let him answer.
I think Eovaldi is just one of those guys that, because of his extremely high injury risk, I don't have a lot of places. I believe in the talent. I'm always fearful that he's just one pitch away from going down again, which is true of any pitcher. All it takes is one pitch and shoulder, elbow, something's going to break, right? But I love the velo is at 97 right now for Eovaldi. Like, that's a really encouraging sign. He's throwing just as hard as he was in the shortened season. Curveball's working for him. I mean, no real concerns for me looking at the numbers from him. Definitely a guy that I feel like I missed out on so far this season.
Nando?
I wouldn't have him, but I believe that this is real. I mean, you know what? Here's the weird thing with him and I. Eovaldi was like not a strikeout pitcher with the he went from the Dodgers to the Marlins early in his career, right?
Yeah. Yes, he was. So I don't know that he was. I'm not sure he was on the Dodgers. Yeah, I think he was on the Dodgers. Yes, you're right. I think you're right.
Yeah, so he there was a show on Showtime that chronicled like the Marlins season. I think it was like in 2013 or something like that. 24. I feel like I was down in Florida when it was happening. Maybe it's 2015. Anyway, it was like I didn't realize back, and this is back then, you know, this is 6, 7, 8 years ago. Like, they were showing the gun, and Eovaldi was throwing like 100. And I'm like, this guy doesn't strike anybody out, but he's throwing 99, 100, 99, 100. So that always stuck with me, that, you know, like, someone who could throw that hard didn't want to blow the ball past people and go for strikeouts. He used it, you know, to do soft contact or whatever. I don't know. Like, I believe that with that kind of mindset and mentality, and I'm getting very Ian-y about things, but yeah, I believe. But it's just, you know, without the strikeouts, I find zero interest in you, my friend.
Yeah, but he's got the strikeouts going now. He had the strikeouts going last year. The last couple of years, he really has been striking out. The injury concern has been the thing. He showed himself to be a phenomenal pitcher was it 2019? When did the Red Sox win the World Series? That year, or that he was amazing in the playoffs. Like, and then they signed him to the long extension. I watched him in New York in 2015 and 2016, and he was just great, man. I mean, he was really great. Then he got injured 2017, but I've always held a soft spot in my heart for Nathan Eovaldi. And I'm a believer. I think he's grown into himself beautifully. I'm a big fan. If he can stay healthy, like DVR says, if he can stay healthy.
You know, they still haven't revealed who's using the humidor, right? DVR, you'd know this more than us because you're you know, insider.
Yeah, he had a thing in the piece that he wrote about some of the changes to the ball for this year. I thought he had a list of the suspected places that had it. I have not committed the list to memory.
Was it like Baltimore, Boston? Was it like the obvious ones?
It wasn't the obvious ones. That was the weird thing about it. And the reason we thought it could be meaningful was that the ball, like the makeup of the ball, was causing it to react differently in the humidor parks versus the non-humidor parks, where in the humidor parks, it was definitely a more pitcher-friendly ball than it was in the non-humidor parks. Like it early, of course, so hard to like lock that in. But that was one of the things that they saw a clear difference in, like, exit velocity data was the humidor parks was a tick lower than the non-humidor parks.
Hey, you know who popped into my inbox yesterday was our friend Clifton Neely. I don't know if you guys, we've talked about him before, right? The stuff that Al did with him with the air density index and the visual memory index.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so he's back, and I just shot him a note. Like, excuse me. He actually sent us to me and Al about how two-seam fastballs aren't being reported really anymore. This guy's genius. I love Clifton Neely's like one of my favorite guys who nobody knows about, and they should. And so I just wrote him a quick note. I'm like, hey man, we're doing betting now. Like, if you think there's any VMI crossover there, let me know. If you just go back and read Al's column, if you could find it, you can Google it. It was from 2019, and it was about Matthew Boyd and how Al like took this entire column and did like 1,300 words. On how it was a good introduction to air density and the VMI stuff, and how it's not just like a Colorado thing. It's, you know, it affects someone going from like Kansas City to Boston because of the different sea levels and how the air behaves and how a ball will behave in that air. And so if you've got I don't want to explain it completely here because I'll mess it up somehow, but it's basically like if you've been playing in Boston and you're a hitter and a different team comes to town, you're going to be okay as a hitter because you know how that ball moves. Like a curveball is going to curve the same way. But if you got a team coming in that is just coming to Boston from a big enough difference in the air density, that curveball is going to move differently, and they're not going to be ready for it. So your curveball pitcher might want to throw more curveballs, whereas the fastball might be flat or whatever.
Is that why there was talk on the Yankees? I saw an interview with Aaron Judge where he was talking about hitting in Tampa Bay is just so hard. I wonder if that has something to do with it as well.
That might
be
it. The
air density. I mean, the lighting as well is strange there. So it's a real home field advantage for Tampa Bay. By the way, the Yankees, oh boy, do they stink. Oof.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions. Apply.
Oof.
I put that on the rundown for you.
I see. That's why. Do I want to talk about the Yankees? Yeah, sure. They stink. How about that? They're terrible right now. They've got Gerrit Cole. He's doing well. Urshela's doing okay. LeMahieu's doing fine. And then Glenn Colton, I think last night, said that everyone else is like trying to swing at a ball with rakes. I mean, they're just not a very good baseball team. I think they miss Luke Voit terribly, just his energy. It's just a bunch of like lumbering guys playing baseball. Aaron Hicks is just, it's just bad. And it's Clint Frazier, bad.
Oh man, what happened
really
to him?
Really bad. Don't know. Clint Frazier, not so good. Clint Frazier. He's Clint Frazier. It is what it is. But Judge isn't really taking off. Stanton will hit an occasional home run, but it's all or nothing with him. Kluber looks terrible. Montgomery looks pretty good, which is good. The bullpen looks pretty strong, but the team.
How about Loaisiga, man? Huh? Yeah, having a season.
Yes. Loaisiga is doing great. I mean, he's almost worth a pickup in 15 team leagues at this point, even just as a stash, because his stuff is really playing up. But, I mean, that team is, if Tyone does not come through, it's going to be a long season for the Yankees. Kluber looks overmatched out there. He's just nibbling at the corner, and his velocity's down a little bit. It's just not working. That's what I'm seeing. It's hard to watch. Let's put it that way. I'm finding myself watching the Angels more. Still rooting for the Yankees. still hoping to go to a Yankee game for my birthday, maybe tomorrow night. But it's really ugly. If anyone has any further insight about it, I'll just tell you that.
What's stopping you from going to a Yankees game for your birthday tomorrow night?
It's supposed to rain.
Oh, you have tickets?
No. Buying tickets day of, if I buy them, if we go.
Are there giveaways? Are teams doing giveaways this year?
The teams are doing discounts. They're doing like bundling.
I don't care about that.
It's hard.
Like, I want like a bobblehead, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think that they're that I've seen at Yankee Stadium. I think it's hard for teams right now. I feel bad for them because they're, selling 20% to capacity, except in Texas, where I guess they have full houses, which is, kind of interesting to watch. But for the Yankees, it's still worth going. It's just they're not playing very well. You feel like they're going to lose every game. But Cashman came out today and said, we're not going to make any
fire
big changes.
Fire Aaron Boone, right? Is that what you think they should do?
No. You don't fire Aaron
Boone
after 15 games. Because I think they like Aaron Boone. I think the players like Aaron Boone. I think they need Luke Voit to come back. I think Voit comes back. I think the Jay Bruce situation just didn't work out. It was interesting. He just retired like that. A little tip of the hat to Jay Bruce. But, man, Roughneck Odor. Yeesh. Not a fan. And Sanchez is now hurt, which actually could give Higashioka a chance to play. And I actually think Higashioka is better than Sanchez. I think he's a better baseball player. No, I really do. I own Sanchez everywhere, but because you bet on the upside and the price was good in spring, but I don't know, man. I really like Higashioka. I think he would be a better player for the team. Do you disagree?
I'm actually looking up Mets promotions. Let's have DVR answer.
DVR. DVR.
They
do
have one. They got a shirt coming up in a couple weeks.
Look at that.
I think Sanchez is showing some signs of taking a step forward again as a hitter. I think the problem still is with his defense. I think he will never be fairly judged in New York because of expectations that are just through the roof from what he did when he debuted, right? I mean, he come up as a 23-year-old and hit .299 with 20 homers in 53 games. There's nowhere to go but down from there. And he followed it up with a pretty big 2017. But the 3+ years since have been very frustrating for Yankees fans because they want the 2016 and 2017 version back.
I don't even need the 2016 or 2017 version. I just need a better catcher behind the plate. I need a guy who plays with a stronger motor. That's all. You know, I mean, for fantasy purposes, he's fine because he will hit some home runs. He'll get on base. He'll score some runs, but eventually. But he's just really bad behind the plate. And coaching Little League, I played a team last week who had a catcher back there who was freaking genius. Nothing got by him. This is like 10 to 12, almost 13-year-old kids. And having a great catcher behind the plate changes the game in that format, right? Well, it's also true in the major leagues. I mean, Sanchez needs to stay focused throughout the game, and he struggles in doing that, I think, in watching him. And Higashioka, I think, is... Higashioka, look at his numbers. I mean, when he plays, he hits. And he hits for power.
Yeah, but is that because he's not playing every day and grinding and having to learn every pitcher's repertoire and, you know, like...
I think he knows the repertoire. I don't think that's the challenge.
He's basically a personal catcher, isn't he?
No, not fully. Right. And I think he's going to get more time. I'm curious to see who's in the lineup tonight after Sanchez got that... Man, you're a catcher. If there's nobody on base, put your hand behind your back. Put it behind your leg so it's out of the way. He just keeps his hand out there, and he got a ball right off his hand. It's just not great. It's not great. But neither am I. Joe Ross, guys. Joe Ross.
By the way, Brooklyn Cyclones have a pretty cool promotion coming up. May 22nd, they got a Pete Alonso flex doll. Like one of those old wrestling buddies from back in the day.
What are you guys doing with Jake Odorizzi?
That was my question.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting back to it because we're talking about promotions.
Acting.
So what
you're the one who said you're going to the game, and I think that's a legitimate follow-up question is, are they giving anything away still at ballparks?
Yeah, what are they giving away in Brooklyn? There could be like 10 people that listen to the show that might go.
I think of the Pete Alonso flex plush and then free parking on Tuesdays.
No, that sounds like a good giveaway. But
yeah, I like the plush. I like that it's a plush. But what are you going to do with Jake Odorizzi? He threw really well for like 3 1/3 and then it all went downhill. Or maybe 4. I think he got through 4 innings and I was feeling really good about my Jake Odorizzi couple of places I own him, and then kind of wheels fell off. I'm not so scared. I think he's just building himself up, but is there something else under the numbers there, Derek?
Little velo drop, but not so much that it's still early and he had the late start, so you don't have to panic just yet. Throwing fewer sliders for some reason. Not really sure what to make of that. Throwing more curveballs, slightly more curveballs, I guess, but mostly more fastballs. I don't like him throwing more fastballs because his fastball's not good. Like That's what I don't like about the pitch mix. I wonder if that's just getting on the same page with the organization and making an adjustment. That's what that is. Maybe he doesn't have the feel for the slider yet because of the late start. In the places where I have him, he's still more of a hold for me because I think the AL West is loaded with soft landing spots. Yeah, you're worried about the Angels, but you're not that worried about facing Seattle. You're definitely not that worried about facing Oakland. And, you know, Texas doesn't matter. Like, pitch him in Texas or at home against the Rangers. So you got three teams that are basically locks to use a guy like Odorizzi. Maybe you have to wait one turn for him to show that he's right. But the long view is so encouraging for any pitcher in that division that I'd be hesitant to cut Odorizzi after 2 starts.
Cool. Yeah, I'm on the same page. And I want to get to this before we run out of time. Rich Hill versus Logan Allen. I noticed with Logan Allen, I watched his start because I didn't listen to my own advice and I had him in the lineup. And his velo was down from like 95 to 90. Did anyone else catch that? Because the velo was way down.
I didn't catch that.
Rich Hill, I'm going Logan Allen over Rich Hill, but DVR, is that right? I mean, is what I saw the truth? Can you check that?
That has never once been a good thing or an okay thing.
No, I mean, it was like down significantly and he just looked completely ordinary and he looked like scared, but he also looked like his velo was way, way down, like remarkably so.
Let's have a look. Yeah, he was down 2.2 miles per hour on his fastball from his previous start, which is a pretty big drop.
Yeah.
He got away from the pitch a little bit, at least. So,
well, because it wasn't working.
But it's not like the other stuff in his arsenal is so good that throwing a lot more sliders or a lot more changeups is a great solution.
He can't afford to do it that way. He's got to come with a mid 90s velo. He has to have that. So what was the velo in the last start?
Oh, it was 93 in the previous start. Yeah. It was 90.8 in the most recent start.
That's what I noticed. I was like, why is he throwing so slow? Like, it doesn't look the same coming out of his hand. And the number didn't look the same on the screen. So I was like, what's going on? But there's no talk of maybe an injury. So there may be an injury there because it didn't make any sense. I was trying to decide between starting him, whether I was going to start him this week in a league where pitching is very thin and is up against the Yankees. And I called Steve Gardner because we were talking about a trade that we were trying to make with DVR and Jeff Winnick, which we didn't end up doing. But and I asked him and he said, well, he's facing the Yankees and they're not very good. So why don't you start him? And he's at home in Cleveland. I was like, yeah, it's probably a pretty good idea. So I'm going to go for it. We'll see how it goes. It's the only place I'm starting him this week. And I will not be starting Joe Ross anywhere next week. I
can probably watch him throw no hitter.
No, because I think I talked about this on the show once, that there's few things as bad as having a two-start week for a pitcher and having them blow up and explode in their first start. And you're just waiting the 5 days. It feels like you're on Game of Thrones and you're in like the tower and they're going to cut your head off. That's what it feels like going into Joe Ross's next start. I think it's Saturday.
Happy 10-year anniversary, Game of Thrones.
Nothing I can do about it. Yeah. Boy, they really blew that last season. Ugh.
Someone say the last two, maybe the last three.
Nah, I don't know. I kind of like the second of last season, but yeah, Jake Seeley and I, we did that Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's right. I forgot
podcast.
About that.
We did, and Jake was right. Jake was like, "This is trash," and I was trying to be all like, you know, like, well, I mean, kind of trash, but it might work out. And then at the end, I was like, "No, you're right. Total trash. They trashed it. They
blew. Look at Ian making enemies in his industry."
Yeah, it's all right. It's not my industry anymore. I'm on sabbatical. One last thing on the rundown is Jose Iglesias is hitting .375 over his last seven games, including a stolen base last night that he did with Albert Pujols. I'm digging it. I'm all over that Jose Iglesias business.
Right? I mean, I know he's not batting leadoff like some of us thought he would, but maybe he will with that batting average.
Nah. The Fletcher, Ohtani, Trout, Upton, Walsh is set. That's and sometimes Walsh Upton. That's a good line.
Well, you're Johnny Angels now, so yeah, you know better than any of us.
I know them Angels. There's no Iglesias is batting seventh in that lineup. It's a good spot for him. He's going to get a lot of RBI opportunities. He's not going to hit any home runs. We know that, but even if he gives you 6 to 8 stolen bases over the course of the season with a really good batting average as a middle infielder, you know, as a on one of those NFBC 50 round draft things, he's worth playing. You know.
Yeah.
Guy like Freddie Galvis, too. He's like in that same area as Freddie Galvis. He's just going to give you a little something. Better than Kevin Newman, I'll tell you that.
Well, you can have neither now, right?
Freaking Kevin Newman. I'm so bad at this game. It's amazing.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, man. Well, that's
Johnny Humble
today.
With a minute left. Here we go.
Johnny Humble
Angels,
is,
Johnny Humble, Johnny Birthday.
Johnny Bad. Johnny Bad at baseball, at fantasy baseball for the last 48 hours. Johnny Bad. That's what I am. Johnny Bad.
All right, we got to go. I got to get some lunch. Oh, no, wait, I'm an hour ahead. Never mind. I thought it was 11:50. Look at us doing the show early today.
I know. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. I've got work stuff that I have to take care of starting at 11 o'clock. So we did the early show.
Yeah. Let's get out of here. For the guy who just booked a ticket to Brooklyn on May 22nd, Derek Arriba.
That's me.
For the other guy who claims that beating Garry Kasparov in chess is just as much a rush as beating Ariel Cohen in tennis, Ian Khan.
One of those I am capable of doing.
I'm Nando Novino. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Good talk. Bye.